51. That's 708-629-5151 or online at thewexlergroup.com.
Okay, it's the Chicago Bears.
Dan Hampton, an Arkansas Razorback who played as a Chicago Bears defensive tackle from 79 to 90, elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 02.
Ed Obradovich,
the U of I Illini, drafted to the Bears in 1962, part of the NFL championship team of 1963.
Glenn Kozlowski,
BYU Cougar, who played 6 years on the Bears, specializing in special teams and wide receiver.
Mark Carmen.
Yeah.
You're just a sexy young guy that doesn't know a damn thing.
Welcome to the Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Well, congratulations are in order. Matt Nagy. His first ever win in a Bears, well, not uniform, but his first ever win as a head coach in the NFL. 24-17, the Chicago Bears are on the victory board in 2018 as they knock off the, let's call them, woeful Seattle Seahawks, who slipped to 0-2. Mixed bag tonight is Hamp, OB, and Kaz. Get going here. My name is Mark Carmen, and we will take your phone calls, 312-981-7200. Mitchell Trubisky, 25 of 34 tonight for 200 yards, couple of touchdowns, couple of interceptions. He did not look good. He looked average at best. I would say more like mediocre. Had some moments, but overall, I think anybody who's watching Mitchell Trubisky right now, or even half watching Mitchell Trubisky right now, realizes that he has a long way to go. Will he get there? We'll see. But just a mixed bag tonight. And the Bears defense, on the plus side, when you're looking at the positives right now, it most definitely is the Bears defense. These guys are flying around. Khalil Mack is impacting the game in numerous ways. And a huge pick six tonight, Glenn Kozlowski from Prince of Mukamara.
Yeah, it was.
That iced it.
Yeah, and he was, you know, he was sitting in the flats, and he broke on the ball and took it back, and that was the difference in the ball game. So, defensively, a lot of good things. Offensively, this is, you know, you've got to score more than 17 points a game. You just have to.
Right.
Now, they're going to go to Arizona. Arizona is a bad football team, and the Bears should be 2-1.
Well, and look, winning ugly is better than doing what they did last week. OB, how you feeling over there as we get going here? Hamp, OB, and Kaz, 312-981-7200.
Well, to say the least, it was a must win. They had to win tonight, come hook or crook or whatever, and they won. So kudos to the Bears. They won the home opener. That's great. What I'm disappointed in is Mitch Trubisky. What we gave up for him, folks, in the draft, we gave up an entire draft. An entire draft. And so what that means is this kid now, in the second year, he should be making the spectacular pass, the spectacular plays. He doesn't. I question his accuracy. He seems to be way off. He looks like he's a little discombobulated, a little nervous out there. But that's my thoughts. That's what I saw. But again, for the most part, guys, they won. I'm glad that they won.
Sound
flabbergasted. That's about it.
You're not.
No, you know what?
I'd love to
go in them. They did so many bad things, so many bad plays, so many bad calls. And again, they got all the breaks, and I don't want to go end up ripping the Bears and whatever have you. Just let it go. They won the game. Like Glenn said, they're going out to Arizona. That team couldn't play dead. So maybe we'll be 2-1 by the end of next week.
Hampo?
Should be.
Okay. You know, and essentially, this is, as you said, Ed, a game you had to win, and they did it. And what was the margin? The only interception and return for a touchdown by Mukamara in his
pick
career.
Six.
So it all counts, and it all matters. And you know what? A win's a win. and we could have won last week if we had done a couple of little things. But as you said, the development of Mitchell, and his new name is Trumisky, because he misses so many throws. He is having a hard time understanding how to play the quarterback position. And you know what? I hate to see it. You know, the offense almost, as you kind of aptly put it, in the program in there, Cuz, it's like a junior high offense, and we're trying to do all this flash and glitter, and we're not doing things proficiently. We're not blocking people. We're not knocking people around. We are not converting on simple plays. You know, the play to Miller over the middle, you got to make that throw 10 out of 10 times, and he misses the guy. So at the end of the day, this is a win that the head coach desperately needed, and the defense bailed him out and got him the margin. But this offense, it's a work in progress. And more importantly, the one thing that I kind of – it looks to me like they're hiding Trubisky in the offense. They're not featuring him. They're finding little nicks and crevices where he can make a play here and there, but they're not expecting him to operate a big boy NFL offense where he goes back in the pocket, he goes through a progression of reads, and makes good definitive throws. How long will this last? Can we beat Arizona with this? Well, let's hope so. But you know what? We got Tampa Bay in 2 weeks, and Tampa Bay's quarterback is making these throws. He's making these conversions. He's doing what you have to do from the pocket as a real live NFL quarterback. And if a team is smart enough on defense to make us have to beat him like that, I don't think he's equipped to do it right now.
This is Trubisky. This is his second year. And folks, if you just sit there, you just watch him in a huddle, he looks like he's lost in space. And by the way, we gave up an entire draft last year to draft this kid. We moved up from the third pick to the second pick and gave away the whole draft, which nobody had him on their board at taking him number one or number two or number three. Nobody. The number one rated quarterback was a kid out of Texas Tech by the name of Patrick Mahomes. Do you hear me, folks? He's the starting quarterback for Kansas City. After two games, he's thrown 10 touchdown passes. Nobody in the history of the NFL at a quarterback position has ever done that. Let me repeat it again. Nobody in the history. And he was rated head and shoulders above Trubisky. And this guy we got, Pace, gave up a draft. And I'll tell you what, our first two games, we are struggling to look like a professional team offensively, defensively. We were there last year. I think we're there this year. But I'm telling you what, they're trying to take, I keep saying, a round hole into a square peg. They're still trying to do it with Trubisky. And I'm going to make this statement right now. This kid is not an accurate passer. He is not an NFL top-flight quarterback. Mark my words, catch the next 14 games with this kid.
Well, he threw two picks tonight. He could have easily thrown three or four.
Yeah, well, the one in the end zone where the Seattle defender just knocked it down. Yeah. I mean, that should have been a pick. And we got a field goal out of it. The bottom line, guys, this offense and – you know, and
how about cute formations?
What
the hell is that?
All the razzle dazzle and tricks and different personnel groupings and all of this. What do we got that we can hang our hat on when it's third and two? Do we really feel like we know what we can do to get a first down? We ran basically an RPO where the quarterback keeps it and he makes the wrong decision, bouncing outside and gets stopped. When it was everybody in the stadium saw. The inside. First down, right inside, run up. So what I'm saying is, it's almost like this kid is so far in over his head that not only does the head coach know it, but he's calling plays accordingly, and he's not going to try and challenge him to do what conventional NFL top flight quarterbacks have to do. And at some point, it will back up and bite you. Now, let me just say this. You know, we used to watch a lot of game film, and I'm telling you, you put this film on, and you, as a defensive coordinator, do you think the defensive coordinator is going to turn the film off after an hour and say, wow, this kid, we're going to have to stop him? They can't wait to play against him right now. They're like, this guy is an accident waiting to happen. And it's just a matter of time until smart defensive coordinators put a game plan together where we're going to make him not only stay in the pocket, but have to throw from the pocket, and he makes a lot of bad decisions. Dan, and then, when he does make a decision, half the time it's a bad pass.
What they did last year to get this kid was 24-karat gold, according to Pace and the Chicago Bear management, okay? He's supposed to make those spectacular plays. The 12-yard out, the 25, 30-yard fly pattern, the post pattern. And he's supposed to – he can't hit them. He's tried. He can't. Watch it, folks. He is not an accurate passer. And I defy anybody that have watched the first two games this year. He can't hit a – oh, well.
Well, think about this. In two games, we have three touchdowns. One was a shuttle pass. Another one was a quarterback keeper at the goal line. And the other touchdown pass that he had tonight was basically a decent play where he got out on the edge and threw it to the rookie Miller.
312-981-7200. We'll take your calls after 10:30. The Bears did win today, and they do have a defense that will, based on the way I'm looking at this, is we'll see how far the defense could carry them. We'll talk about that coming on back here. 720 WGN.
Touchdown Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OP Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN Hamp and OB with Kaz. This is your Bears postgame show till midnight tonight. Bears beat the Seahawks 24-17. My name is Mark Harmon. We're going to get to the calls here, team. Are you feeling good about the Bears right now, or are you feeling like they somehow, some way got a win and there's really nothing
here? Let's go to the callers. Okay. Let's go to callers. You know, that would take up another hour just answering that.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Fermin, what's going on on the north side? What's going on, Fermin?
How you doing, man? How you doing? Great show as always, guys. Here's what I'm going to say. Thank God for the higher powers that Khalil Mack fell out of the sky from some other team for the Bears to benefit from. Because if it wasn't for Khalil Mack, this could easily have been 0-2.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
That guy, I don't know. Like I said, in NFL fantasy, teams fight to keep their good players. But this Khalil Mack, that's a godsend. As for Trubisky, I agree with Lauro Bradovich, but I'm trying to hold out on hope on Trubisky because I feel I have to admit I watched some other games during Sunday, and that Patrick Mahomes guy scared me because that's the guy who was drafted in the same year as Trubisky, and that guy's just blowing up all over Kansas City. And not only that, you got these other quarterbacks that just got drafted, Donald blowing up. They're all blowing up, but Trubisky hasn't blown up yet. And yes, I'm worried because sooner or later, the reason I'm saying sooner or later, the Bears' offense is going to have to pull their weight because, as I've noticed, the Bears' defense, as good as they are, because that defense is, man, that Khalil Mack is, I can't say enough about that guy.
We got you for me. Appreciate the call, Hampo.
He is good.
Obviously, that was the thing that I kept saying in the offseason, who's going to rush the passer? Well, he's an amazing addition, best thing Pace has ever done, and best thing the Bears organization has done in 20 years. Let me just throw this out about Trubisky. Think about this, folks. If you've ever played golf or whatever, and you're in a company, we've had a lead in both games from start to finish, basically. Now, if he struggled, if you're down a 7 or 10 or 2 touchdowns, then you could say, okay, the other team, they've got momentum, and they're coming after us. We've had the lead, and he still looks like he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Think about that. That's a huge advantage as a quarterback. When that defense is still going to have to play, across the board and not know whether you're going to run or pass, because when you're down, you're going to throw every time, and then they can really bring it. We've had the luxury of a lead for 4 quarters in both games, and he still is stumbling and fumbling. He can't make a decision, and when he does, a lot of times, like I said, it's a bad pass.
Yeah, it's not
this guy.
Good.
Hey, you can say what you want. To me, it looks like Nagy kind of knows it, and he didn't want to tell the boss, and he's hiding him.
312-981-7200. See, that's an interesting point about Nagy, because he was in Kansas City around when they drafted Patrick Mahomes. He was asked about both quarterbacks before the season started. He couldn't stop talking about Patrick Mahomes and how much he loves that kid and what his potential was.
Because in college, he was head and shoulders above him.
It was
right there. It's right in front of you.
Watch him throw the ball. The kid has a major gun. He knows where to throw the ball. He puts great touch on it. I'm telling you, it's an amazing release. It's like effortless, like he's throwing a baseball. Every throw Trubisky makes, it's almost like you're holding your breath. You're like, what? Well, let's hope nothing bad happens.
Well, here's what he reminds me of, Bortles. And that would be the only comparison I could make. And Bortles, for the first time, looked like an NFL quarterback last week. Remember, Ed, we talked about that horrible hitch he used to have, the kid down in Jacksonville?
Yeah.
He, all of a sudden, it almost looks like he had a quarterback coach that actually worked with him. His footwork is better. He's throwing the ball better.
Now in his fifth year.
That's what I'm saying. You're probably looking, at best, it's kind of that same projection.
Okay, well, why would we trade up the whole world to get this kid another one on the shelf was even better that we could have got loaded? So, yeah, okay, it's over. We've got this kid. We can't eat him. We got to play him. And so here's the deal. At some point, we have to see a return on our investment of the draft picks, of the money, of the concentration of 2,000 plays in training camp.
Water.
We haven't seen it, guys. I'm telling you. Yeah, and again, you know, the clock's ticking. We got a defense that not only keeps us in games, but, you know, kind of won the game tonight. But sooner or later, he will be exposed.
Wait a minute. We're going to get to the next caller. Before we do that, getting back to Patrick Mahomes. Okay, those two kids were in the same year. Patrick Mahomes, they went and played away their first game. They went and played the Chargers.
They whipped the Chargers.
Pretty good team.
On the road.
Patrick Mahomes threw four touchdown passes for 258 yards. Last week, who'd they play?
Pittsburgh on the road.
Again on the road. He threw six touchdown passes. Six.
Yeah, he also completed 82% of his passes, for the record.
Yeah. Guys, I'm just saying, there's no question about the fact that Pace was duped. There's no question. But all his first rounders have been... Yeah, so we can talk about Mahomes until the cows come home. This guy is the guy we're going to have to suit up
well,
with.
Well, you want
to
know what? We should. You want to know why? Because we got this kid. We gave up everything to get him, and he was the wrong player. And everybody knew it, but this idiot we got.
That's a very spot-on way of putting it.
I got to tell you, too. Look at his first-rounders. Who's the biggest impact player out of his first-rounders?
Not Kevin White.
Ryan Pace.
Kevin White.
Bust.
Now, think about this.
Not even an NFL football player, White. I mean, he's a joke. Well, and I hate dogging the guy, but he's just probably a nice guy.
And these
bad football player.
And these aren't the 25th selection in the first. This is the 7th. The ninth, the second, and the eighth. That's second overall and three others inside the top 10. And we don't have a player amongst them. Leonard Floyd was a nobody out there. Okay, he's got a bad hand. Guess what? You got to be able to play and stick out if you're a high first-round pick. Kevin White can't get on the field. Has anybody seen him? Is he in witness protection? What's going on with him?
He was out there for a play tonight. That was amazing. Go ahead, Pam. One play.
And who's the other pick?
Smith.
Smith showed up a little bit tonight, but again, that's a work in progress because he had that ingenious decision to hold out for a month, and now he's just still trying to find out what he can do.
312-981-7200. Let's get back to the phones here. Phone lines are open for you, Paul, and a car. Welcome to Hamp, OB, and Kaz on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Ed, OB, you guys are fired up tonight. You must have thought the Bears lost.
Huh.
It sounds like you guys are talking about Mitch sounding like Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler is much better than Mitch. Let's be honest. Just call it what it is.
Hey, I think I got to put some of the blame on Matt Nagy here. This play call just has no flow. You know, I want to get on the kid just as hard as you guys are, but the coach is doing him no favors here. This is crazy. This is like my ma making meatloaf and buying the olive oil and the garlic before choosing out the meat here. This is terrible.
No, that's a deep, well, meatloaf analysis.
What
Maggie
right seems like he's doing, he's too busy.
Is that good, people?
He's too busy trying to call or run these phenomenal plays, these all these set-up strong left people in motion. We have tackles
given
playing
it,
a wide
it to
out.
A wide receiver.
We, I mean, that's what he seems to have done these last two games. Guess what again, folks, here? We scored 17 points. 17 points tonight. Thank God for the defense with the pick six. And it's our home opener against a team that had four starters out. Four! Two of their linebackers, a guard, and their best receiver. And we barely beat them.
That, you know, that Seattle team will be lucky to win six games this year. And they were in it to the last 2 minutes. But again, back to your point about Nagy. Here's the thing. He's telling you what he thinks. He's got all these trick plays and fly speed screens and all this stuff going. Why, Cos?
Because
the quarterback can't play.
Right, and he knows it, so he's
look
he's
over here,
hiding,
look over here. What's this?
He's
what's
hiding
that?
The quarterback. Right.
He's hiding the quarterback. Now, that being said, doesn't it make sense that you'd want this quarterback to show you what he could do in the preseason instead of hiding him throughout the preseason? I'm telling you, this whole thing is shaping up to be a real bad disappointment.
Let's get a 312-981-7200. Maurice wants in Avalon Park. What's up, Maurice?
Hello, Mr. Hampton. Hello, Mr. Obradovich. First of all, did you notice, looking at Matt Nagy's play card, he had printed on there in prominent letters, BU. He should add on there, be smart, be sharp, and be angry.
Be you. Now, boy, that's inspiring, isn't it?
Ledge, yeah. Now, to get you guys off the ledge, there are some positives. There was good quarterback protection, six sacks against Seattle versus two for the Bears. Turnovers. Seattle had three turnovers. The Bears had two, albeit Trubisky. I'm sorry, I'm bringing up the dark cloud on you guys. Now, the defense, they did win the game. That was punctuated by Prince Amukamara's interception for the touchdown. I think defense worked for you guys. You, Doug, excuse me, you, Obi, with Bill Wade in 1963, and you, Danimal, with Jim McMahon in 1986. Fourth of all, you have Jordan Howard. He's a workhorse. So all the draft picks that the Bears selected aren't dead. Finally, nobody got hurt, and the Bears won.
All right, Maurice. Hey,
they won. We're happy. We're jumping up and down. But here's the bottom line, folks. We don't want to beat a six-win Seattle team. We want to be able to compete for the division. We let one go last week in Green Bay because we played stupid in the second half. We didn't have anybody that could tackle and run and rush the passer because we were out of shape, because we didn't play in the preseason. These are things, these are rules of, like, the rules of football. You got to pay a price to be ready to play. We weren't last week. Tonight, we're better. But thank God it wasn't the Packers, because we barely got out of this one alive.
We'll get to more calls coming right on back here.
Hang in there, callers.
312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz will be here till midnight on 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears win, 24-17. The first ever win for Matt Nagy. He will never forget it.
Hey, listen, they're 3-11, the new head coaches in the National Football League. So,
well, they were 0-7 after week one.
Right.
So, that's a big improvement.
Hey, look, he's one of three coaches right now that have won as first-timers.
Hey, let's do the Marconi Play We Relished, which is brought to you by Marconi Giardinera. You could put it on everything, relish it on all your meals, because Marconi makes it better. Kazi, what do you got?
Pick six. That was the biggest play of the game, and that swung the game into the Bears' favor. Because yep, it wasn't going to be the offense to win it. You know, I mean, clearly the D had to step up at that point and make a play.
And what was interesting about it was Mukamara was squatted on the route. I mean, no quarterback in the league would throw that. I don't know why they, you know, Russell Wilson, he's won a Super Bowl. He's obviously a good player. That was just, you know, you can't do that. But thank you. We'll take right. it any time. And the other part of it, it was, you know, five sacks in the first half. Second half, we really weren't able to generate much at all as far as pressure. That one was all him jumping a route.
Hamp, you played on some teams that had minimal offense and the defense carried to, you know, a considerable amount of success. Can you do you see this defense being able to carry this offense?
Well, they're going to have to. And the difference was our offenses weren't you know, awesome offenses in the sense they score 40 every week, but they knew what they wanted to do, especially when Walters said, we had something ball. We could hang right. our hat on. Look at this offense. Tell me, what are we hanging our hat on? I mean, think about it. It's all the speed screens and the fly
sweeps
right. And then the shuttle pass and
trick plays.
It's just all flash and no meat. We got to be able to be better. And you know, Jordan Howard had 35 yards tonight, and this offense will be so much better, and Trubisky would be so much better if they would just say, hey, we're going to say,
run the
we're
ball.
We're
going to
get you 40, 50 yards a half. And at the end of the day, if he's over 100, guess what? Everybody's going to be a lot happier.
312-981-7200. Let's get Sam in a car who wants to talk about Trubisky and I think defend him. Go ahead, Sam.
I was just calling as a Packer fan, kind of looking in Bears country. I think Bears offense is going to be on the upswing for the rest of the year. Obviously, the little Mac pickup was huge, and I think your defense is going to be carrying games. But I think, I mean, comparisons to Patrick Mahomes and that, I mean, I understand draft frustrations, but I don't think those are fair comparisons, and I don't think Mahomes
hey,
is going
Sam,
to
Hey, Sam, we'll trade you
success.
Right now. We'll trade you right now, straight across. You give us
your guy,
and we'll send you our guy at quarterback.
All right,
since you're a Packer fan, right? Let's do it straight across.
Sam, it's easy to talk when you've been watching Favre and Rodgers for 30 years.
Oh yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I understand we're lucky. I'm lucky to have watched Favre and Rodgers for years. I understand that, but I'm saying, I mean, I don't think looking at our division going into the year, it was going to be. I mean, Packers and Vikings, and then Bears and Lions fighting. But I think with the Bears playing as well as they did, I mean, yeah, we stole the one last week from you. But I think you guys handled Seattle pretty well, and I think your defense is going to blow up a lot of teams. I think, I mean,
all right,
it's going to be
Sam,
one of the first years that the NFC North is sending three to the playoff.
We appreciate the uplift
yeah, thanks
from Wisconsin.
A lot,
we appreciate
Sammy.
It. But
yeah, thanks for the pat on the
drive
back.
Fast.
Seattle stinks. Seattle's one of the five worst football teams in the NFL. Anybody want to argue with that?
No.
Yeah.
And you know, we're going to play another one next
team.
Week. Arizona's
yeah.
horrible, too. Yeah. And so,
you got to win those, though. You got to beat them. You got to beat teams that are bad.
Yeah. You got to beat the bad teams. Go 500 with the teams that are like you and steal one here and there,
right.
like we did against Pittsburgh last year.
Yep.
312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz on 720 WGN. Duke in Ottawa. What's up, Duke?
Hey, how you doing, OB? Need some baby aspirin? Anyway, I help coach a private Catholic high school here at Marquette, and we like to challenge the Bears offense to a flag football game, and I like Mitch to be my cornhole tosser at the homecoming next weekend, because the way he throws the football is like he's throwing a frickin' beanbag.
Duke! Way to...
I mean, you know, I'm just analyzing, you know. I mean, the next thing is the tongue will be hanging out like Michael Jordan, and he'd be jumping off the left foot doing a fadeaway throw, because that's what it looks like.
Well, that was his best throw all night, was that little fadeaway throw. Duke, appreciate the humor and the analysis.
Well, it's a good observation.
Great call. And yeah, again, folks, here's the thing. We're not, like, trying to trash Trubisky. We're saying, wait a minute. We were told this is the bill of goods. We were told 2,000 snaps in preseason practices. We were told we're ready to go. We can't wait to hit the ground. This is not a team that anybody is going to take seriously until you get a lot better at that position. He's got to find a way. And again, like I said, half the time the offense is trying to hide him. That's, you know, what on third and one, we bring in Trey Burton and put him in, you know, the quarterback
shotgun.
Position
right, right.
And do a direct snap for a gut shot when we got Jordan Howard and take the quarterback out. I'm just saying, this is all voodoo, and it's only going to last so long.
when you get a chance to move up and take a guy in the draft that you know is going to be a superstar, you got to go out and do it. And that's why I traded a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, a third-round pick, and our number three overall pick for Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, that's what he said. That's
right,
it.
Right.
You have to do it. You got to move up and go get him. And now I think when you do that, you eventually have to come and say, you know what? Didn't get that right.
Swing
all you have to do
Trubisky.
Is look at Pace's record since he's been here. And by the way, didn't the front office on the Bears hire a headhunting firm to find a general manager in the National Football League?
I get confused.
They did that.
They did it to find Trestman, or maybe they or Fox.
It was Mark Trestman.
It was
Ernie Orcozy came in.
Ernie Orcozy brought us Fox. Thank you. And then they all decided they were smart enough to make the next decision. So this is where we're at. But again, hey, the season is young and it's 1-1, and we've got a chance.
Dan,
but we can't just pat everybody on the back and say, "Oh, we won a game. Everybody can go out and have a great night." No, we got work to do.
His people that he's in free agency, he's given millions and millions and millions guaranteed in free agency. What the hell have they done? Look at his draft picks.
Well, he has to go get free agents to cover up his ones.
That's right. The Pace paradox.
And look at his draft picks. Folks, we're not making this up. It's right in front of you. And this guy's our general manager. There's probably 15 other teams that are happy as hell that we got this guy as our general manager.
Allen Robinson to replace Kevin White.
He played well tonight.
Kevin Mack to replace Leonard Floyd. And Pernell McPhee. Who else we got? Oh, we had to draft Roquan Smith because Jarrell Freeman kind of self-imploded.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, all of these decisions, now we're going to have to go back and redo them with free agent fixes.
Nationwide's on your side. Locally, that's our Jeff Vukovic.
Vuk!
Jeff personalizes your insurance needs. He's been doing that for decades.
My point is, he throws around money like you can't believe it.
Who, Vuk?
Not the Vuk.
I know Vuk well.
He wouldn't be slinging money around.
You could simply click to jeffvuk.com. Vuk is on your side, not slinging around money.
We could thank John Gruden.
He gets props for Khalil Mack. He gets props for Allen Robinson. He gets props for...
But these are cover-ups because you didn't do well with your ones.
Well, here's another thing, Kaz. 14 targets to Allen Robinson tonight. Okay, we're going to try to get him involved. Somebody's going to be jumping routes because they're going to watch this film and say, this kid is eyeballing one receiver. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set a trap. Watch.
We'll hear from Adam Hogan at Soldier Field. We'll hear from you, 312-981-7200. Quick timeout. Hamp and OB with Kaz till midnight on 720 WGN. WGN Hamp and OB with Kaz with you till midnight tonight. Presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200. Bears beat the Seahawks 24-17. First win as a head coach in the National Football League for Matt Nagy. His first win ever as a head coach anywhere. He has never been a head coach. We haven't talked about that a whole lot. Thank you to Bartolini's Restaurant Catering and Banquets. It was delicious tonight, wasn't it, Hampo?
It's great. Last week we had the meatball sandwiches. Tonight, the Italian beef with the au gratin potatoes. Out of this world.
The chicken.
10-star.
It
was beautiful.
The tiramisu.
Everything's outstanding there.
Located 144th and Pulaski in Midlothian. They offer catering and banquets 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call them at 708-396-2333. Before we get back to the calls, and we'll get to you in a second, let's do Who Brought It Today, which is sponsored by the Blue Cross Blue Shield Card of Illinois. You know what to bring. Who brought it, Hamp?
Here we go. Hey, how about all four new receivers? There were 20 catches from Robinson, Gabriel, Burton, and Miller. Four guys weren't on the team last year, showed up, made a great presence. We got a couple of touchdowns out of it.
10 catches for Robinson, four for Taylor Gabriel, four for Trey Burton. Two for Anthony Miller. And
New posse, yeah.
And Jordan Howard caught three balls tonight, too. So
Howard's catching the ball much better, too, out of the backfield. That's a plus.
Yeah. Excellent. Hey, and again, we just got to find a guy to get it to him, right? Okay, yeah. Wake up, Trubisky.
Trubisky. So good. I think you're the first one with that, Hamp. Trubisky. Yeah. 312-981-7200. We go by who waits the longest here, and that would be you, John, in Fox Lake, who says the Bears could have lost. What do you got here, John?
Yeah, you know, this Seattle team is obviously a real bad team. And, you know, the Bears, the offense, I felt like this could have been a statement game. You know, and you should have put away these guys.
Correct.
But, you know, there's something to be said about tempo. Maybe some people, you know, make that more than what, you know, what that really is. But there is no tempo to this offense whatsoever. I mean, it's just like, it's so frustrating to watch. The Bears are a 6-10 team, a 7-9 team, just based on the offense. When they're going to get matched up against some real high-powered offensive teams, they can't go toe-to-toe with those teams the way this play calling is being sent in. There is no sense of tempo. I think you're wasting Howard. You're not using him. I think he needs to be used more in the game, whether it's coming out of the backfield, because that guy really does damage to you when he's catching a pass and he just, you know, the yards after the catch, he can really punish you. But there's no tempo. It's like it's stop and go and, you know, and just zig and zag. And it's just, I just don't get this play calling from this coach. And this is the second coming of Rex Grossman. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's.
He's got a lot of Cade McNown going, doesn't he?
Appreciate you, John.
John, great points, and we made that. I said, hey, you got it. Jordan Howard needs 40 a half, no matter what. Getting 40 a half and makes everything else work. But you know,
he had 14 attempts for 35 yards,
not near
for a 2.5 yard average, and not good.
And that's Seattle is a bottom third defense at best. At best. Now, at the end of the day, again, back to the play calling. Again, this is all the all the shiny objects. Oh, look at this, look at that. And you're exactly right. Rhyme and rhythm. I used to hate playing against the Washington Redskins with Joe Gibbs. They knew what they wanted to do. They would pound the living hell out of you. And you wanted to try to get them out of rhythm, you couldn't do it. All night long, neither offense, you know, our defense has something to do with it. But their offense was out of rhythm and hoarse, you know what, and so was ours.
312-981-7200 as we keep rolling on the phones here. We can hear from
the
Matt
other part.
Negri,
I will say, too, part of the problem for why he's not getting a lot of Howard is they don't have a fullback in the game. They, you know, he's running in these run plays without a lead blocker. They don't have tight ends in there. They've got all these little running, swinging people going by, and you're going
touchy-feely offense.
Yeah.
Well, and also, look, Matt Nagy, as I mentioned at the start of this, never been a head coach in the NFL, and he was barely an offense coordinator as far as calling plays. So he may turn into a very good head coach and a good play caller, but he's new. It's impossible to think he's going to jump in and know exactly what he's doing.
They used to say, if it's going to be...
Then why'd you hire him?
Yeah, if it's going to be a
good... Why'd you hire him?
Well,
if it's going
to
be a good...
Callers.
If it's a good dog, it'll bite when it's a pup. We're getting gummed.
Geezer's telling me in my ear that Ditka's was never a head coach or a coordinator either, but...
We didn't let him call plays.
He would take it sometimes, but he would pull the play call and start calling him, but he didn't actually go into games calling
And
him.
As far as being a head coach, he was a great motivator, was he not? Was that fair to say?
Yeah. Okay.
He never said, be you. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, we got famous. He got rich. We got rings. He got a halo. Let's move on.
All right. Rick in Mount Greenwood. What's up? Welcome to WGN.
Hey, guys. Appreciate taking my call. Real honor talking to OB, Hamp, and Kaz. I want to talk about Kyle Fuller. Last year... You know, the guy, I saw him, he dropped multiple passes that could have been picks. My other point is, last week, of course, we saw him drop that pass that he could have picked and it could have ended the game. And then tonight, when he got burned for the TD, you know, he's got the receiver in the corner. Instead of flailing his arms, wouldn't you think he would turn and face the quarterback and try to get the pick that deep in the end zone? I just want your thoughts on that, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean he wasn't in a good position. He never looked back for the ball, and the receiver did a good job of not raising his hands, you know, to try.
Great catch.
I mean that was I mean those were the great throw and a great catch, and you know what, he was unfortunately caught up in that. But I got to tell you, last year when you're playing for a contract, it's a little different than what I see now. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a little bit different than what I see out of him now.
312-981-7200. Welcome in. It's Hamp, OB, and Kaz. We're on 720 WG until midnight tonight with you. We're going to hear from the head coach, Matt Nagy, coming up here in a bit. Josh on the north side, welcome to WGN.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Just wanted to get what I saw in the game. I definitely feel I see some positives in the game. I kind of see, you know, that I think they're trying to find their rhythm. They're trying to find how to use their guys. I mean, last week, you know, we definitely saw a lot of, you know, gimmick plays. I think in this game they were more concentrated on running the ball, more than just trying to be fancy. They definitely got their wide receivers involved. So I just feel that after the bye week, you know, they're going to know what they have as far as the roster, how to, like, ultimately use everyone. So I just feel like they're only going to get better with the games go. The only thing that I'm worried about is that, like, the defense had 6 sacks in the first quarter, and then it just seems that, you know, the second quarter they didn't get any sacks, which was the case with Green Bay. So that's the only thing I'm worried about, because obviously, as we see now, without the defense, we probably would have lost Seattle. But I definitely see some positives as far as the game goes and how they're trying to see what they got in their team.
All right. Well, thank you, Josh. Appreciate it. And you know what? There was a lot of positives in this game. I mean, they won. That's the biggest positive. They won the game.
Look, it's exciting to watch their defense play, right? I mean,
first half. They fade in the fourth quarter. I mean,
really
that defense gets tired.
That's true too.
There's no rush in the fourth quarter.
And you know, I've told the story countless times about driving the sled and yelling at Buddy Ryan, why are we doing this? And everybody else is hanging around drinking water. And he basically said, hey, shut up. You got the hardest job in football. You got to close. You got to rush the passer in the fourth quarter. You got to be in great shape. We're not getting much out of the defensive front in the later stages of the game. They got to get in better shape.
Let's bring in David out in Northbrook. What's up, the Diesel? What's going on?
David?
David, are you there? 3-1.
Well, you did a great job of building that one up.
The diesel.
A whiff.
I mean, I guess the
diesel. Did you push
Karminsky
the wrong button?
I didn't. I didn't do anything wrong. Apparently something happened. Let's try Buzz in a car. What's up, Buzz?
Yo, dude, how you guys doing, man? We love listening to the show on the way home.
Thank you.
What do you got, Buzz?
No problem. So, hey, man, we're with sportsmockery.com. We do a podcast called The Outcast of Buzz and Juice. We wanted to know what your guys' opinion was on Mitch Trubisky. What our opinions were on the way home, just sitting here shooting the crap or whatever you want to call it, man. I don't know how, you know, when we got Khalil Mack, I thought this team is all in, right? You know, this team is all in. We're going to move forward. We're going to do some cool things, stuff like that. I think that we need to move the ball north to south instead of east to west. I'm sick of seeing the John Shoup, Ron Turner offense. We've been Bears season ticket holders since before I could walk, and I'm sick of seeing the same kind of offense. I wanted to get your guys' opinion on what you thought the offense was like. And, you know, if you're kicking yourself in the rear end because Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson look like the truth and Mitch Trubisky looks like a little kid scared out there.
So, we got you, Buzz. We got you, Buzz. Congrats on the sports mockery.
As far as I'm concerned, my answer is, Buzz, you're correct. You're absolutely correct.
I mean, the north-south thing, when they tried to go down the field today, he underthrew, who was the target on that play? I want to say it was Robinson, whoever it was.
Robinson had him beat by 2 steps, yeah, too.
Right, and then he got drilled. That was your highlight of the day, Kaz.
Well, no, I mean, it was...
Gabriel over the middle. When he underthrew on the...
Thomas came and just ten-toed him after.
Yeah, Earl Thomas. Hey, look, again, and obviously you didn't hear the early stages of the show, but we all said, yay, the Bears won. Let's all clap. Let's hold, you know, clap for the Wolfman. Hey, everything's great. No, it's not. This offense is all flash and glitter and no substance, and it's all predicated, in my belief, and I think the rest of the guys are in agreement. Hey, I think we know, you know, the coaches are figuring out our quarterback ain't so good, so we're going to do all these other things to kind of, distract and kind of look over here, and we're going to run the fly sweep, and we're going to do this, and then, because he's struggling to make reads and go through the progression. And then the most important thing, the thing that Ryan Pace said, that's why we went and got him. He can't throw the ball with any accuracy. He's throwing it all over the place. And again, most of the time, with for no reason, he'll break down and try to get out of the pocket and scramble, and it looks like a junior high play. You know, it just, it's not very good, and we can beat Seattle with it. We can probably beat Arizona. We're going to have trouble with the other teams.
Baez, Goldschmidt, MVP candidates collide on WGN-TV. It's the Cubs and the Diamondbacks on WGN-TV. Cubs are leading Arizona 5-0 now in the ninth. All right, 312-981-7200. Bears beat the Seahawks 24-17. They're 1-1. They've got Arizona up next on the road. Then Tampa Bay's coming to Soldier Field. We're going to hear from the head coach, Matt Nagy, coming on back here, 720 WGN. The Bears are 1-1. Welcome in. Hamp and OB with Kaz with you till midnight. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Defensive star of the game brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hampa, what do you
got?
Well,
you're thinking it's Prince Mukamara. It's not. And you're thinking maybe Khalil Mack. No, it's not. It's Danny Trevathan. Led the team in tackles. He had two sacks. One was a forced fumble. Defense showed up big. You know, the pick six, it was margin of victory. Then the very next drive, they force Wilson out of the pocket, and they strip him, and that was game, set, match. It was over.
So you can't judge guys just by tackles, but Trevathan had eight. Roquan Smith had seven. Khalil Mack with five plus a sack. I mean, those are your three linebackers right there. That's a huge upgrade from where they were at.
And see, in the pregame, I talked about the fact that for big stretches of the seasons, the last few years, we didn't have anybody that would be rated like in the top 10 at their position. Nobody. Well, Jordan Howard is, and you would think that Kyle Long is, and maybe even Robinson on offense. But on defense, not only is Akeem Hicks there, Danny Trevathan is, and of course Khalil Mack, it may be in the top two at his position. So we are not without, you know, certain assets. But again, the most important player on the field has got to get his head out of you-know-where.
Let's hear from the head coach. Let's bring in Matt Nagy and his press conference, his first ever victory in the National Football League.
How would you assess Mitch's game?
So I thought Mitch was, again, he got to a point. We started out with around a 97-yard drive to start the game, 96, and ended up with a touchdown. So that was good, similar to last week. And then I thought that for the most part, again, in and out of the huddle, making quick decisions, getting the ball out on time. He had the interceptions, and the one got tipped. So those are hard. Those are difficult. And then the other one was a shot downfield, and the kid made a hell of a play. Again, the thing that we're learning in this process is that we're on this next play mentality, and so I'm really proud with how he handled himself from play one until that end of that fourth quarter. Every time after any play, good or bad, on that series or after the series, he was phenomenal. I mean, his attitude was great. He didn't worry about anything. And so that's growth right there. And that makes me happy to know that that he understands that, hey, there's going to be interceptions. But at least we're doing this thing and we're attacking, we're stretching, and let's make them make a good play. And more so than not, we'll make better plays.
Did you attempt to do any less in the second half because of where you were and because of his shaky second quarter?
No, I don't care at all about what happened. I'll never care about what he did. I don't care if he threw four picks in the first half. I'm not going to change. I'm going to have ultimate trust in him and continuing to lead this offense. And so I've told him that from the start, and so I'll never back away from that. And so what I'll do is I'll try to protect him at times. In certain ways, but he won't know when I'm protecting him. It'll be by me doing it my own way. He's going to cut it loose, and if he starts getting into a shell, then we all get into a shell.
Defense came up big. It seemed like when you needed it most after the two giveaways in the first half, three and outs, and then two straight turnovers, takeaways in the second half. What was the key to the whole defense?
So I thought it was pretty neat that after sudden change with two interceptions, we got two three and outs by the defense. That's awesome, and so that's. There's not a lot of teams in the NFL that have I think that mentality and that of what our, where our defense is playing right now. The last two games, now we had the difficulties there in the third and fourth quarter against Green Bay, but for the most part right now, our defense is playing fast. They're flying around, and so they helped us out offensively. They helped the offense out, and there's going to be times where the offense is going to help the defense out. So that's just the way it goes. In the end, the only thing that matters is that W. That's it.
What was the key to executing the shovel pass touchdown?
To read the defense and pick either option A or B. I mean, there's a couple options on that, and so for him, he made a great decision with that. And it's a play that we have in our offense. We have different ways to do it and to get to it. And so it was neat to see that come to fruition.
So there you go. There's Matt Nagy. So that was really interesting.
It's really neat.
Well, he just contradicted himself. He said, I will never lose confidence in Mitchell Trubisky, even if he throws four picks. And then he comes back
But I'll protect him. He won't know I'm protecting him.
And he won't even, like, you basically just called Mitchell Trubisky. He's dumb enough to know that I'm not protecting him. I mean, what kind
of... No, he doesn't. You're right.
He won't know, but I'm going to protect him. I mean, dude.
Doesn't it sound like he's talking about a journeyman seventh round pick that we're lucky to even have, not the franchise quarterback?
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds like we're, you know, everything is all bouquets and cookies. Oh yeah, and, you know, even if he throws back to back picks, I'll never. How quarterback centric is this guy? I mean, I think he, and again, I think what he's telling us is he knows what we're saying is true and that there is major trouble in little Trubisky land.
He's trying to sell us on Trubisky. You listen to what he said there. Every sentence, every word was to all the listeners, whoever's listened to that, his program. That's what he's trying to do. Sell Trubisky.
You're right,
it's going to be a, huh?
You're right, OB.
I guarantee you that's what he's trying to do.
And he's
I don't care if he throws four interceptions. Are you kidding me? You don't care if he throws four interceptions? You don't care if he does this, that? He does stupid things? Only a stupid coach would say those stupid things. You have a quarterback that throws four interceptions in a half? You're not bothered by it?
He really should just rephrase it. I'm going to back Mitchell Trubisky no matter what because my general manager who hired me gave up three draft picks to go up and get this guy, and we absolutely are all in on him, and there's no turning back, so we absolutely have to back him no matter what. Just say that.
You're correct.
I mean, that would be honest.
And give him a chance because he didn't get a chance to play in the preseason.
Yeah, that was my fault.
Dan brought up a point.
That's my fault,
Dan brought up a point about all these different offensive formations and people in motion and the quarterback in motion. We don't have a quarterback. We got a tight end back there receiving the ball. We got a running back there to receive the ball. Trubisky's out in a flanker somewhere. You got all this razzle-dazzle. Why? Why? You're not going to win a football game. You're not going to go and have a winning season playing this kind of a razzle-dazzle football. Why the hell are you doing this? Well, is it because you're so damn stupid you can't figure out NFL football? Or are you protecting this kid that's as dumb as a rock and he's a bad passer?
Here's the problem. He came from Kansas City, and it works in Kansas City because you have the premier tight end.
Smith, yes.
You have Travis Kelce, Kareem Hill, Tyreek Hill. You go on and on and on, and it's loaded with talent. So you can do all those little cutesy things like Andy Reid does, but you can't do it here when you don't have the personnel to do it.
Sammy Watkins looks good in Kansas City, too. All right, let's take a quick time out. We'll get to news in
a
moment.
That's my point, right?
Yeah, exactly your point, and I agree. All right, Adam Hoge after the 11:30 news on 720 WGN. Hamp, OB with Kaz until midnight. 'til midnight. If you read Adam Hoge's Bears blog at WGNradio.com, first of all, you're living your life the right way. Second of all, you would have read that Adam Hoge predicted that tonight the Bears would beat the Seattle Seahawks 24-17. Hamp, you want to give him credit for that?
That is. Kudos.
Look at that. Congratulations there, Hoagie. Nice job.
Thanks. I think it's the first time I've ever gotten it exactly correct, and it'll probably be the last.
It's only how many years you now cover the team?
Eight. It's not
years.
A very good hit rate, so I don't know that I deserve any credit.
Well, and in the pregame, we also talked about the development of our quarterback. Do you feel better, or are you reaching for the Advil?
Yeah, I. That's kind of the one thing about this game is that I last week may have actually been a better game for him. I like that they took more chances, but the results weren't very good. I mean, he just underthrows Allen Robinson on the first interception, and then Matt Nagy tried to, you know, pass the second one off as a tip ball. But, I mean, he threw it into two defenders, two linemen that were right there. So, right. I mean, that's something that a quarterback needs to anticipate. And then he got lucky that last one. He should have been picked off at the goal line. Bears end up getting a field goal out of that situation, but that could have cost them points, too. I thought the Bears should have been up 21-0 at halftime because he missed Taylor Gabriel on that long throw that I thought would have been a touchdown if he completes it. So not a great game for Mitch Trubisky by any means.
Yeah, he's guessing out there, too. And even when he does see it, I mean, every pass looks like it's a struggle for him to throw. Bad footwork is, you know, he's throwing sidearms sometimes, his slots all over the place. It's not good.
Adam, and one of the contentions we've made is the fact that I think the head coach is having to call the plays for a quarterback he knows ain't very good, and that's why we got all this shiny object movement, personnel groupings, different play sets, all this different stuff, and no meat. I mean, this offense is a grab bag, and there's no rhyme or reason. And at the end of the game, what did we get accomplished? Okay, we won the game. Yay. I'm just saying, that ain't going to work against a good team.
No, the offense clearly needs to evolve and continue to get better. Now, I will say, in terms of positives, it looked like Trubisky was comfortable running the offense and was at least making proper decisions most of the time. I'm not going to say the whole time. His mistakes were, you know, just the physical. Younger threw the ball, or he threw it into, you know, coverage. I mean, no, that can't happen. I'm just saying it doesn't look like he's completely lost out there, like he doesn't understand the offense, like he can't run the system. So those are at least positives. And, you know, also in terms of the offense in the second half, I think part of that, Matt Nagy denied that it had to do with Trubisky's first half. I'm not sure I completely agree with that. I do think that he was a little bit afraid to continue to take shots downfield, especially because it looked like Seattle was mostly in single high, begging for the Bears to beat them deep. But some of it had to do with the fact they couldn't run the football either. And so a lot of those short passes, those dump-offs to the side into speedy receivers or to Tariq Cohen or Taylor Gabriel, whoever, I think that was them trying to just extend the running game a little bit out of the passing game, because those are essentially run plays that are just run a little bit differently by throwing the ball out in space.
How about you line up two tight ends and actually run the ball behind a big running back? I mean, that sounds like a crazy concept, but it seemed to work in the past.
Yeah, you know, that might just have to be something that we all have to accept in this new offense, that it's just, it's not going to look like, I mean, the positives are it's not going to look like John Fox and Dow Loggins. But the negatives are sometimes when you just want them to line up and get a couple of yards, big boy NFL football, they might not do that.
Let's talk about the defense, Adam. In your mind, from what you've seen, can this defense carry this team to 8-9 wins? I know that's you know, maybe a little crazy at this point. They just beat the Seattle Seahawks, are probably top five or bottom five team in the NFL. But what do you think?
No, I mean, yeah, if they're 8-9 wins, sure, because they're playing at a, you know, top-notch level right now through two games. I mean, we're talking top three defense, potentially. So, and that's kind of what we thought. We knew there was a top-10 defense here that was adding Khalil Mack. They're playing how they should right now. Now, they're going a little bit above and beyond because the offense isn't really helping them out too much, but, you know, we've seen stuff like this before. I mean, I'm going back to, like, the Lovie Smith days when the offense looked completely incompetent and the defense was playing at an incredible level. I don't know if it's quite to that level right now. I think this offense has a little bit more potential. It's got to continue to evolve, though. Now, the good news, I spent my morning watching the Arizona Cardinals first two games. I don't know how they're going to score on this defense. That offense is a complete mess. And so it's at least looking good next week.
Yeah, no, they're going to be 2-1. I mean, they would really have to fall flat on their faces to lose to Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, their only move is to start Josh Rosen, but I don't know that you want to do that against this defense right now. But Sam Bradford is not going to get the job done next week. I find that hard to believe that the Bears should be 2-1. They could potentially be close to a touchdown favorite in Arizona next week.
Anything stand out from the locker room, Adam?
Well, here's a good piece of news. Tariq Cohen's okay. He was dancing around in the locker room, so, you know, knock on wood, guys, but that's one positive to the season so far, is that the Bears look like one of the healthier teams in the league at this point, which we've certainly not been able to talk about the last couple of years. And then, you know, I don't know, it's sort of a change in Mitch Trubisky from last week at least, but he just did not want to dwell on the mistakes this week. He just did not want to talk about them, did not want to think about them. I don't know if that's good or bad, but he thinks that he's dwelling on the mistakes too much, and that could be hurting him. I'm just telling you what he said.
Yeah, mommy, make it stop. I got it. Hey, listen, what about Roquan Smith? He actually was on the field more than half the time. That's a good thing. I got to tell you, OB and I are both like, you know, he can move a little bit, but man, he doesn't look too big. Do you think he's going to be able to mature and become a force?
Yeah, I do. Look, we knew when they drafted him, he's not the biggest linebacker that's ever played, but he plays. I think he plays bigger than he looks because he hits hard. And I saw a guy that's got speed, and when he makes contact and he hits you, he hits, you know, with a thump. And, you know, it's his first real game. They decided earlier in the week they were going to start him. They didn't say that publicly, but Matt Nagy confirmed that after the game, that they just decided, hey, look, he's the better option. I don't think there's any doubt about that, because he's got the speed that Nick Kwiatkowski doesn't. And he'll continue to get better from an instinctual standpoint. They didn't let him call the plays tonight, but I think that's something that will come as he gets more and more responsibility.
And one last thing, how does Josh Bellamy get on the field before Kevin White, a first-round draft pick?
And makes a catch.
Woo! I mean, that's bad. I mean, they're running a Josh Bellamy screen before they're even putting Kevin White on the field. That's...
I think it's a C'est la vie moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically... And the fact that he's active right now, despite doing nothing. I mean, he doesn't even contribute to special teams. That just tells you that he's kind of hanging around just in case there's an injury. Like, they just feel like they need him for depth at this point.
Did we try to trade him for Josh Gordon?
I don't know, but I have to imagine the Bears have had at least tried to trade Kevin White. Not many takers, though, when he can't even get out there.
Adam, great stuff. We'll read you at WGNRadio.com. And, hey, you got to see Matt Nagy's first ever win in the National Football League tonight. So never forget that, Adam Hogue.
Hey, the Bears won a game they were supposed to win. We don't get to say that too much. Let's hope it continues this season.
Do you remember that John Fox lost like 12 in a row where we were favored at home? Remember that?
Yes. Yes.
So thank the Lord.
I do. Yeah.
Hey,
all right, we'll see if it continues next week.
Okay, Adam, appreciate it. Adam Hogue out at Soldier Field as the Bears beat the Seattle Seahawks 24-17. Hey, real quick, Ashley, you've been waiting for an hour. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks, guys. OB Hamp, Kaz. Nice to be with you. It's your favorite blonde Bears fan from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yahoo!
Yes!
Hey, I wanted to piggyback on something you guys talked about earlier. So Mahomes and Trubisky, right? So Mahomes was drafted by a good team at the time. Hey, he had time to learn. And let's be honest, Trubisky, you know, he was learning with a third and fourth string, you know, players and really with a lame duck coach. So here's what I think for this year. We gotta really team around him, give him a chance. You know, he's finally got some good players around him, and And also, can I just make one joke? Was Kevin White waiting tables tonight or what?
I think he was up top. Yeah, he was in the skybox and just the hospitality
he was
guy.
A spotter.
That's yeah, how, that's he was walking around just saying hello to the suite.
As owners. Someone who's been a beer vendor at Soldier Field, it's not an easy gig. Let me tell you something. There's the Bears fans want to get their beer. They want to get it very promptly. Otherwise, they threaten to throw you off the upper deck, which I have. Had to deal with those threats in the past.
And we've detailed ad nauseum tonight about the Mahomes versus Trubisky deal. And remember, the young lady's point was, oh, well, he got to watch last year with Alex Smith running the team. Don't forget, your same hero, Ryan Pace, paid $20 million for the Mike Glennon fiasco. We saw him, what, four games, and that was enough?
Three, yeah.
So, actually, Trubisky had to start just out of self-defense because the whole town was going to set fire to the stadium if Glennon played another game. So, again, the Pace paradox. We drafted this kid to basically take over for the $20 million failure. So, the beat goes on.
Hey, Ashley, do you get to Chicago?
Yeah.
You do? Do you enjoy an Italian food?
I love Italian food.
All right, I got it. We got a $50 gift card to you to Bartolini's Restaurant Catering and Banquets, family owned, located at 144th and Pulaski in Midlothian, home Chicago's best meatballs. 708-396-2333. Thanks for being patient, okay?
Hey. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, hang on hold. There you go.
Isn't that great? She's not a Viking fan.
Yeah,
that's
well,
awesome.
If she is, she kept it under wraps at the Bears.
No, she's a Bear fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lou Holtz used to say everybody from Minnesota had blonde hair and blue ears.
Go Lou. A quick timeout. Hampton will be till midnight on 720 WGN. Chicago Bears, staying alive. 1-1, baby.
Hey, with a pick six from a guy that never had one. God love him.
Rick Geezer absolutely did come up with that one. Our executive producer leading us to the promised land tonight, as he always does. Let's do the Mueller game-changing moment here as the Bears beat the Seahawks 24-17. It's sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. Anybody?
I would say the defense creating three and outs after interceptions. You know, normally when you have two like that,
the other team
is going to, you know, capitalize that, and the Bears defense shut them down three and out both times.
Yeah. And this offense, it has certain, and again, think about this. The reason that Nagy said he did not play his players in the preseason, because he wanted to keep this offense under wraps.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, yeah. He sure did.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, how effective has it been? We've got three touchdown drives and eight quarters of football against two also-ran defenses. That ain't, you know, the Minnesota Vikings we're playing against. We just hope that a lot of things fall into place. But again, we got to get more rhythm in this offense. All that juke and jive and personnel sets and speed motion and all. There's a place and time for that. But unfortunately, we just can't seem to, you know, put the cheese on the cracker when we need to and step up and make some plays.
14th game for Mitchell Trubisky. I know it wasn't perfect and everything we've said about him tonight, but it is the first time in his NFL career, guys, that Mitchell Trubisky has thrown two touchdowns in a game.
Yep. Isn't that amazing? And now think about this. And
that's bad.
Yeah,
that's not. I mean, that's
terrible.
Sad. It's horrible.
Your second year, 14th starting, you know, opportunity. Yeah. What did it take Mahomes to throw to OB? One quarter?
Can you imagine?
Or the kid down in Houston for crying out loud.
We get this guy. Kansas City takes Patrick Mahomes. And in the history of this game, Patrick Mahomes throws 10 touchdown passes. That's Johnny Unitas. You could talk about all the greatest quarterbacks that ever lived. Aaron Rodgers, nobody's done it. He did it.
You can't predict injuries, but Deshaun Watson was on his way to being the MVP last year before he blew out his knee.
Exactly.
And that was the National College Player of the Year, who was beating Alabama, playing at Clemson. You had to look at that guy and think, wow, that's a big-time talent.
Ah, suckers take him and Mahomes.
How about Patrick Mahomes? He was rated number one.
Patrick Trubisky. Patrick Mahomes threw for 700 and some odd yards in a college football game. 700 yards. No, he threw it like 80 times. He threw for 700 yards in one game. That's insane.
Meaningless numbers. That's all that is, according to
Who
Pace.
Who cares? Look.
Hey, this kid drove up in a beater car. He's the guy we need.
Baker Mayfield transferred from Texas Tech because he knew he wasn't going to get on the field because Patrick Mahomes was there. Now, Baker Mayfield, of course, was the number one overall pick in the draft by the Cleveland Browns, which I don't think he should have been, but that's a guy who left because he knew he wouldn't get on the field for Patrick Mahomes. And by the way, all right, let's look ahead before we get out of here. Arizona Cardinals are terrible. They're 0-2. They got smoked by the Redskins in week one, 24-6, and they got demolished by the Rams this week, 34-0. Now, the Rams look the best team in football, but they got crushed.
Right. And by the way, my other pick to go to the Super Bowl, the Steelers, is a little shaky right now.
Just a little.
How bad are the Arizona Cardinals? They were shut out last week. They've only had four first downs in two regulation NFL games, four in the first half of two games. So That's complaining about our offense. Well, they got a lot more trouble than we do.
Sam Bradford threw for 90 yards this week. Now, the Rams have a great defense, but
Sam Bradford is not a quarterback in the National Football League, period. Or he does it every year. He proves it that he's not.
And every year somebody lets him play.
Yeah, somebody lets him. Somebody gives him a few million. And there he goes.
Well, I wouldn't imagine that they would make a move to Josh Rosen quite yet down there, but he'll be their quarterback eventually, but not this week against the Bears. So
why? Why not this week? Is there like a big boy rule? I don't understand it. Either you're trying to win the game or you're not. Yeah, and he is clearly the better quarterback.
The point is to win the game. Hey, let me just say this.
Herm.
I'm not so worried about Arizona and who they play at quarterback. I'm worried about our quarterback and our paper cut offense. We need to try and as you say, Mr. Obradovich, go down the field, make some big plays, back them off, and then pound the living daylights out of them with one of the best backs in the league that nobody has been able to stop when we make our mind up to running.
Let's end on a positive note. OB, before the game when we did our pregame show, you said very passionately that you wanted the Bears to go after the quarterback. They got six sacks tonight. They were in the backfield a lot.
I wanted to win. They were playing a team that there was no doubt in my mind that they could beat. And they went out and they won it, a little scary there for a while. But congratulations to the Bears. They won the game. And let's go out to Arizona. Let's make it two, back-to-back.
So we're on next Sunday after the game, so somewhere around 6:30 until 9 o'clock on Sunday evening.
And hopefully we'll be 2-1. And then preparing for, Fitzmagic, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to town.
That's right.
And they are hot, right? They're one of the hottest teams in the National League.
Think about this. Who would have thought the state of Florida would have three 2-0 teams leading the divisions? Tampa, Jacksonville, and Miami, all 2-0 leading their divisions. Nobody would ever believe that.
And Tampa went into New Orleans and beat the Saints, and then they just beat the Super Bowl champs this week. So
yeah, and they beat up Philadelphia. It wasn't a close game. I mean, they got after them. Yeah.
So we're going to play a preseason game in Arizona. Then we'll be ready for Tampa.
we got one more preseason game, and then we got them.
All right, final timeout, and then we'll get back to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis on 720 WGN.